Hey, we are in Romans chapter 3. And we are going to be in verse 21. Romans 3:21. Those of you that were here last Sunday in the first part of Romans 3, have you had a chance to meditate on that? Think about it? Look into it. Did you guys come up with a different conclusion than what I came up with? No? Yeah, praise the Lord. Good. Praise the Lord. Well, the Bible does that. I just tell you, I can categorize it. Yeah. What a thought. What a thought. Yeah. All right, Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What a fantastic verse. Okay? Because the law and the prophets are going to show their types and shadows of Jesus Christ. And one of the best cross-references, well, in my mind anyways, you might have a different one, is Hebrews chapter 9. Now, we'll go to Hebrews 9, and I'm not going to go through the whole chapter. I'll highlight a few things here in Hebrews 9 with Romans 3:21 on our mind. So Hebrews chapter 9, and the whole chapter 9 and 10 is a great picture that would fit into Romans 3:21. So in Hebrews 9, we see here, it's a whole chapter. Let's do, we'll start in verse 11. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ, when he came as a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies so that the flesh is purified, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And again, the whole chapter is excellent. All of Hebrews 9 is a beautiful explanation of one verse of Romans 3:21. So if you want to on your own, read all of Hebrews 9 in reference to Romans 3:21. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And again, many times we need to break things down like this. It's because we're not of that time. We're not of that culture. This was prevalent because there were Jews and Gentiles there at Rome as Paul is writing to them. So this language is familiar to them because it's still happening at this time. It's still happening. The temple hasn't been destroyed yet in 70 AD. Okay, so this is still going on. So, they know the language and the culture. Let's just say after 70 AD, they still know about these things because they've been seeing it. They've been witnessing to it. It's been talked about. There's nothing new there. Okay? So, verse 22, the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe, for there's no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now we'll stop there. Remember, the last 2 weeks we looked at, everyone, yes, is born a sinner. Noah was a sinner, correct? And yet, was he righteous with God? Yes, he was. Lot was born a sinner. But was he righteous with God? Yes. Okay, the just live by faith, right? So there are several people, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Remember, 2,500 years of the Old Testament, is before the law. And I guarantee you, in those 2,500 years, lots of people are dying. Right? And the just that live by faith are going to Abraham's bosom. Correct? Okay, so they're in the center of the earth. They're doing fine. They're comforted. Things are great. But they cannot come out until the resurrection, right? When Christ brings life. He goes down, Ephesians 4, he leads captivity captive, brings them up, right? Even the 1,500 years of the law, there were many people who were living by faith in God, and it was seen by their obedience to the law. Now, there were a lot of people who were not living by faith in God, but were doing the law to a T. Right? That's what Paul's clarifying. Just doing the law in Romans chapter 2, just doing the law, that was never designed to save you. That was never designed to make you right with God. That was never designed to give you eternal life. That wasn't talked about. That wasn't its design. It was to show a righteous God, and it was to show other nations surrounding you God's requirement, what a peculiar people look like. That's all the law was for. It brings the knowledge of sin, right? It brings the knowledge of sin. But my faith in God, I live out my life because I'm trusting in God who wrote the law. So now moving forward, we see here that righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So now there's a transition, right? Now something's changed. If I want the righteousness of God, I need to place my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Right? That's what Paul is clarifying. The just live by faith years ago, okay, and what God revealed to mankind at that time, and they lived the right behavior the best they could, but living by faith in their God. Right? They weren't trusting in Jesus. There's nothing about the cross. There's none of that in the Old Testament. It was all, here's what God revealed to mankind. I believe it, and I'm going to live my belief system. I'm going to live it out towards God. Okay? So, he makes a very good point here, moving on down. To all and upon all who believe. There's no distinction. So it's not salvation for Jews only. Now, for a while in the book of Acts, it seems like that, because for 8 years, from Acts 2 to Acts 10, only the Jews were getting the gospel, right? Now, there are pockets here and there, some different people getting saved, but as far as the nation of Gentiles, they weren't getting it yet. But now, it's, you know, after Christ died and rose, that salvation, faith in Jesus, is to everyone. Why? All have sinned. Romans 5:12. Everyone in Adam has sinned, right? You can be a sinner and live for God in the Old Testament prior to the law, right? Noah did it. Lot did it. I'm still a sinner, but my faith is dictating how I live and how I behave. Okay? Now, what Paul's explaining is now, that's no longer the system. Now it's trusting in Jesus Christ. That's the system now. That's how you get the righteousness of God. That's how you actually get it in you. That's how it becomes a part of you. No other group has had this. It was a mystery, right? No other group for thousands of years had ever had the righteousness of Christ given to them by believing in Jesus. This is all new. It's all new. It's all new teaching. It was a mystery. So Paul's having to explain this. It's not for Jews or Gentiles. It's for everyone. That's what brings us together under Christ is our salvation. Okay? But he makes it very clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Absolutely, because we're all born in Adam. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in what? Christ Jesus. So now it's no longer believing in God the Father, God, and what he's revealed to me. He has revealed himself to us through Jesus. Right? So now I'm believing in Jesus. That's the system now. That's what our belief is in. Jesus Christ. Now we're narrowing it down even further. Okay? And this is where the lines are crossed, if you will. Okay? The Bible says that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. That's it. So now I can believe what God's Word says and say, yes, Lord, and have that take authority over. But you know what I really think? I mean, doesn't God love everyone? A common misconception is since God loves everyone, then all are saved. God loves everyone in the fact that He died for them. That's the extent of it. That's as far as it goes. So there are lost people all over America. Does God love them? Absolutely. In what aspect? He died for their sins. Outside of that, they're at enmity with Christ. He doesn't love them as a child. They're not His. Does that make sense what I'm saying? It's different kind of love. I love you so much I died for you. That's as far as it goes. Now, once you accept me, once you acknowledge me and say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, then that love changes dramatically. Now you're an heir of Christ. Now you're a joint heir of everything Christ has. Now I have a new position in Christ. Now I have all these things in Christ and in the Father because it's Christ in me. Now this sounds elementary to some people, but there are so many people in this area, in Douglas County, that have no idea what this even means. Right? And it's up to us who do know to explain this to them the exact way what Paul's doing. He's slowing down and saying, okay, here's Jesus Christ. All these works aren't good enough. The just have lived by faith, yes. Now moving forward, it's salvation. Christ's righteousness comes into you, and you're right with God when you believe in Jesus. You cannot be right with God outside of that. And then the question then becomes, but what about? What about this group, and this religion, and this belief, and that belief? If it's not salvation by faith in Christ and Christ alone, then it's not true. But won't God? It's not true. So we can't interject what we want. That's good. That becomes dangerous, right? That becomes dangerous. Do I want everyone saved? Absolutely. Do I think God will save everyone? Absolutely. But does that mean it's true? No. No. Am I making sense what I'm saying? Okay. So, everyone has sinned. We're justified through Christ. Okay, verse 25, whom God... This is one of my favorite sayings in all Scripture. I love this saying. I think it's in two other places. Oh, this is fantastic. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood for a demonstration of His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins previously committed to prove His righteousness at this present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus. That propitiation is the mercy seat. Okay, so in the Old Testament, and again, read Hebrews, especially chapters 9 and 10. It explains this in detail. Okay, so that mercy seat, there's two cherubs where the wings touch, right? A cherub is a four-winged angel. Okay, and their four wings come together here, four wings come together on the other side, and there's the lid, the mercy seat is where once a year the blood was put on there. We doing good so far? Okay, and that covered the sins of the high priest and everyone else. All right? Not only is Christ's blood there, follow this, He is the mercy seat. He is the propitiation. He is the mediator. That type, that lid where the blood goes is Jesus. The blood that's on there is Christ's blood. So He is both simultaneously. Really, really cool. Really cool. He is the propitiation. This helps people that kind of, you know, when you slow it down and go on this angle, people that doubt salvation, well, can I ever sin to where I'm not saved? If Christ is the propitiation, if He has forgiven all sin, past, present, and future, you can't sin your way out of Christ's propitiation. That makes sense? Now, You might want to say, well, then they're not saved. If they say, I believe in Christ, you can't look at their behavior. You can't look at it like that. Just because their behavior shows something ungodly, maybe you should teach them. Maybe it's because they're ignorant and no one's shown them from Scripture how to behave, right? Maybe no one's ever taken the time to slow down and say, hey, I'm noticing some, lifestyle tendencies. Let's dig a little deeper and see why you do that. Let's figure this out. You know, not this group, but so many people in America and in Western culture are so easy to start firing things at people because of their behavior. Like, slow down. You're showing your immaturity by doing that. And please don't tell someone you're a believer in Christ because you're making it harder for me. Slow down. As you see those things, you know they're ignorant, they're unlearned, someone hasn't shown them. Okay, how can I be used of God to help them? But if Christ is a propitiation for that sin, it's forgiven. It's forgiven. Do I like the behavior? No. Does it grieve me? Yes. But they're sealed just as sealed as I'm sealed. Does that make sense? That's how important Hebrews is when it comes to the blood. You can't take the blood away of sin once it's been paid for. Christ, that's the whole point of Hebrews, I think 10 is Christ died, or Hebrews 9, Christ died for sins once. So if you can sin your way out of being saved, Christ has to die, and then die again, then die again, then die again, then die again. That's the whole point of the Atonement Day. Okay, Day of Atonement was every year. It's a covering, it's a covering, it's a covering. It's no more a covering in Christ. It's a cleansing. It's a position. I mean, how magnificent, right? How cool is that? Man, blows my mind. I love it. Okay. He's proving his righteousness. Okay, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. So the whole theme, 2,500 years before the law, by faith, right? Hebrews 11. The 1,500 years of the law, still by faith. And it got kind of muddy because they were looking at the law for justification. Nope, never designed for that. So it's continuing on. Okay, so now it's not of the law, not of works. Now what? It's the law of faith, believing in what I'm telling you. Jesus Christ is it. Believing in that. Okay. And people struggle with that. Because we have sometimes a different idea of what believing looks like. Correct? What does faith look like? What does believe look like? We want something attainable to see. Well, if you believe that, then you can't do that. How many people know that they should be telling people about Jesus Christ? And yet they don't. Right? They don't. So slow down. If someone is saying, yeah, I believe that, but their life's for something different, you have to take them at their word. They're saved. They're saved. Because it's not in a work. That's what Paul is doing here. He's stripping every lifestyle out of it, saying, no, it is placing it in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Now, can you imagine the Jews trying to grasp this? Wait a minute. My whole thought process since I have been born, again, they followed their amendments more than the actual law, right? Wait, I have been working so hard. In my flesh, I have done all these things. It's like a 1950s sermon. Right? Do all these things. Do all these things. And then you start realizing truth, and you're going, man, I'm having a hard time shaking. Do all these things. Because I'm programmed, right? It's a heart issue. It's a belief system. Now, how that looks outside, we'll get in through the Spirit later. Right? We'll get into being kind. We'll get into witnessing later. We'll get into all that stuff later. We have to adjust what I think it looks like, what justification looks like, and get it back into what does the Bible say. Because we want to get to a behavior, yes, We want to get there. But it starts with understanding who I am first. Am I making sense? All right. There's no works, there's no boasting, because we're justified in faith only. Verse 28, therefore, we conclude. All right, so taking everything that's been said, and we're narrowing it down. I love this language. Therefore, I love that language. And I love the word conclude. Okay, what are you saying? Right? Like, what's really happening right now? Therefore, we conclude what? What are we concluding to, Paul? Therefore, we conclude. I got to find my spot. Okay, here we go. That a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Cool. Wait, what? Yes. Now, you haven't been born and raised with the Old Testament law to follow it. But I want you to think about what law were you raised around? What sort of rules did you have that you could not break or else? And go to even in church. What church rules or church laws did I have, if any? Some of this might not even apply to you guys, but just think. What did I have growing up or my church teaching that I could not do because? And put that in place of the law. You're saved by faith in Christ alone. Wait, what? Hold on a second. What's happening now? Yes, that's what Paul's concluding. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcised by what? Faith. And the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make the law void through faith? God forbid. Instead, we establish the law. And that's what you see in Galatians. So if you want to, that last verse, read Galatians in context with that last verse. Because it will clarify the law, what the law was to do. The law was ordained of God. And it was the schoolmaster to bring the Jews to Christ. A lot of times when we read Scripture, we read Scripture as if we were to do the law. You were never to do the law as a Gentile. Right? So don't take those law verses and apply them to your life and go, yeah, I got to do this because of the law. No, you were never under the law unless you were a Jew. You read things through a Gentile lens. Now again, don't misunderstand me. All the Bible is for us, okay? All the Bible is for us. But you don't get hung up on taking the law verses and saying, man, it's because of the law I did this or because of the law of that. Nope, that's not for you. I mean, it's for you, but it wasn't directed to you. A Jew under the law will understand that explanation. You look at the Gentile verses and go, oh, that makes sense. I can see why I would do that or think that or say that. Right? Because when Paul's writing here, he's writing to groups of people, which you are one of them. Okay? You read the Bible sometimes as if it's all to you in context. Don't do that. It's not all to you in context. Take your time and start parting things out, going, okay, how can I take apart this puzzle to make it a little bit more clear? Not put the puzzle together and make it clear. Let's take it apart. Oh, this is for the Jews. They would get this. This is for them. I want to learn it because I have a Jewish heritage, right? My Messiah is a Jew. But what applies to me? That's why he's separating Jews by faith, Gentiles by faith. In what? Jesus Christ. Now, the natural reaction is going to be, man, okay, well, we have the law. We believe now in Jesus. What about those before the law? That's a natural question. And Paul is going to answer that natural question that these people who were fortunate to have critical thinking, unlike some people today, to go, okay, that's the next critical issue. Okay, but what about those who didn't have the law and who didn't have Jesus? Paul's going to address that in Hebrews, Romans chapter 4. And it's going to be about Abraham. So next Sunday, we will see living by faith is what justified those. before living by faith in Jesus. It's going to go through the law and through Abraham. So Paul is going to lay this out for everyone to understand, okay, this is how mankind lived. Because you're going to get those questions. How was someone saved before the law? What are you going to tell them? How did someone go to heaven before the law? Well, they didn't, did they? Down to Abraham's bosom. How'd they get there? Faith, right? Faith. Faith in what God revealed to them at that time. Yes. Exactly. So as we grow as Christians, as we grow, we need to start having more answers. And it's going to come up here in a little bit that we need to be able to have an answer to those who ask the reason of the hope that's within us. And one of the questions you might get is, okay, what about before Jesus? What about before the law? Because again, 2,500 years, no law. 1,500 years, law. Now we're at 2,000 years, faith in Jesus. We have to be able to at least go through those three areas and help them understand how justification works. That's what Paul did in Romans 1 through 3. He laid it out beautiful for them. Pretty cool. And he'll use a life example that they're going to know in Hebrews, Romans 4, on Abraham. Think about that. The just shall live by faith. Everyone saved through Jesus Christ, and that's the line. There's no more what if, maybe, how come. Nope, that's it. Boop, right there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, we're so grateful and thankful for Romans chapter 3, an understanding that, yes, everyone has sinned because we're all in Adam. But even as we were in Adam, there are those who were righteous before you because of their faith in you. And Lord, we're thankful for those biblical examples of these men, different people, Lord, who only had a small revelation of who you were, yet chose to live by faith and live for you. They weren't sealed with the Holy Spirit like we are. Their sins were not paid for at that present time, but yet they chose to live by faith, and you rewarded them by allowing them to go to Abraham's bosom. Lord, allow all of us to understand salvation in different time periods. Allow us to understand what propitiation means and how it affects eternal security, how it affects my assurance in Christ. All those different aspects, Lord. Lord, I pray that questions were answered today. I pray that people were encouraged and that we may have a little bit more understanding of Romans 3, that it would affect our behavior moving forward. Bless our afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.